This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums.
Local support for Ozarks at Large comes from Unity of Fayetteville, presenting yogi and musician Dada Nabaniyananda in concert this Saturday at 7 p.m. and a workshop entitled The Secret of Meditation, Making It Fun at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Donations are welcome. 442-0680 or unityfay.org for location and more information.
And later on this edition of Ozarks at Large, Arkansas-born poet C.D. Wright on her friend Margaret McHugh, a woman who marched across Arkansas for civil rights. Plus, the Fayetteville Roots Festival expands from one day to an entire weekend with over 30 musical acts at six different locations. And despite the spring floods and the summer heat, an annual tomato tasting will go on this weekend at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks.
First, the Arkansas Department of Health is opening a new walk-in clinic in Springdale to better serve thousands of migrant Marshallese who live there. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
The Arkansas Department of Health, based in Little Rock, operates 94 local health units in each of the state's 75 counties. ADH deals with family planning, women, infants, and children's health, maternity care, oral health, WIC, immunizations, and communicable disease. Its epidemiology branch tracks the spread of hepatitis and STDs, as well as Hansen's disease and tuberculosis, both endemic in the Marshall Islands. Because islanders were systematically exposed to radiologic weapons tests in the 1950s, some experts also believe they may be immune compromised. According to a 2010 census, 4,000 Pacific Islanders were counted in Northwest Arkansas, the largest population in the world. Unemployment in the Marshalls is around 40%, and medical facilities are scant. Marshallese are classified as migrants, free to enter the United States under a special treaty. But traveling to the Arkansas Department of Health Washington County unit in Fayetteville from Springdale may be difficult for many working poor islanders due to factory shifts and not owning cars. So ADH staff devote a great deal of time conducting home visits. That's why ADH saw the need to open a satellite clinic in downtown Springdale. Sandy Hainline-Williams, RN, is a nurse coordinator for the Marshallese Latino Outreach Team at Washington County Health Unit.
We've been wanting a clinic since about 2005. And so, yes, it's been in the planning for a very, very long time. Dr. Bates is our medical director for the health department. He had come up here in about 2005 and had done some home visits with me, and we talked about the need to have something in Springdale that was more accessible for our persons with limited transportation. So he started working on it, and we finally got a little bit of money granted to us, and we've started work on the clinic. The clinic's going to be located in the Jones Resource Building.
The 1,200-square-foot clinic, currently under construction, is being paid for with a Federal Health Resources and Services Administration grant. It's designed to assist underserved communities.
Oh, I'm very excited about just being in one location. I'll be seeing a lot more people in the clinics than I have been.
Treatment, especially for infectious disease, can be complex and require many visits.
Right. They have to be delivered and they have to be assessed. I have to do a monthly assessment on many, many of my patients. And then some of the patients I have to see weekly to do assessments on. So this will definitely help me by making it more convenient for them to come to the clinic and me to go out and try to chase them down. You know, the difference between our home visits and a home health situation, in a home health situation where you're contracted with another agency that puts a nurse in that house, that individual is usually homebound. This population I'm dealing with are not necessarily homebound, so it makes it a little more difficult to catch up with them. I may go to the house two or three times before I actually catch them. So being in Springdale, maybe they'll be more inclined to swing by the clinic and let me see them there than me chasing them all over Springdale.
And services rendered are paid on a sliding scale with the bottom fee listed as $5.
And that $5 really just covers the handling of the paper, record fee, if they don't have $5, we will not turn them away. Everybody is welcome to come.
Especially Marshall Islanders, who traditionally tend not to seek preventive medical care. And by treaty, low-income Marshallese cannot qualify for Medicaid, with one exception. More about that in a minute. Which is one reason why the Arkansas delegation is requesting additional federal funding, known as Compact Impact, to offset medical costs. And have asked the incoming Islanders be screened prior to entering the United States. Still, certain Islanders do qualify for assistance.
On Medicaid, the Marshallese women are eligible for Medicaid under a program called SCHIP, which is a maternity program. So it covers them through their prenatal care and a few weeks after the delivery, and then they are no longer eligible for any Medicaid. The children that are born here that meet the income guideline do qualify for the RKIDS program, which is a Medicaid program for children.
Dr. Joe Bates, medical director of the Arkansas Department of Health, has been key in establishing this satellite clinic.
It's unusual, but we have a few counties where we have two local health units in the same county, only a few, maybe 5 or 10 of them. But it's unusual, but it's certainly done.
And building right in the Marshallese neighborhood, as Dr. Bates referred to it, will draw in patients who require critical care. The federal grant will go towards interior renovation and furnishing the clinic, but continuing costs will be paid for by the state, he said.
We're not getting any continuing operational or supply funding after that. So we'll be supporting this out of our regular operating budget as we are now.
Many Islanders, Hispanics, Laotians, and Hmong already frequent the Charitable Community Clinic, also located in the Jones Resource Facility. And Sandy Hainline-Williams says they already work in concert.
It's going to be cooperative. They maintain their records and we maintain our records. There'll be some collaboration back and forth in that when they have clients that may need treatment that we can offer them, such as sexually transmitted disease treatments, or perhaps they have a positive TB skin test and need their records open, they'll be able to just walk across the hallway to see us. And then when we have clients that need medical attention, it'll be easier for us to get their appointment scheduled. We can just walk across the hall and schedule their appointments.
Once constructed, the clinic will be fully staffed.
We'll have one full-time RN on duty, and one Marshallese-speaking clerk on duty, and then the outreach team will be based out of there, so there'll be two Marshallese outreach workers and one Latino outreach worker and myself. And then we have one Marshallese part-time outreach worker that deals primarily with STDs and HIV, and he'll be there on a limited basis, maybe one day a week.
And although Marshallese have been living in Northwest Arkansas, some now for two decades, Sandy Hainline-Williams says most still don't understand the Western medical system.
No, I don't think they're learning the ropes. We created an acculturation book through the Gaps in Services to kind of help Marshallese navigate this new world that they are in. But they are so removed from preventative care in their own country that it's hard for them to understand why they should go to the doctor when they feel well. So they haven't really accessed the medical community the way we'd like for them to. A lot of them have no insurance whatsoever. They have no state or federal funding. That puts them in a bad place, and they are crisis-oriented. So they wait until they're really, really sick, and then they access the only treatment that they know. They will rely on local healers, and they do rely heavily on the emergency room.
Which advocates are working to change. The new Arkansas Department of Health clinic in downtown Springdale is scheduled to open in late August. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
This is Ozarks at Large. Poet C.D. Wright is a MacArthur Genius Grant Award winner. She grew up in rural North Arkansas and went to college at the University of Memphis back when it was Memphis State. Her latest book, One with Others, takes place in and around her old stomping grounds during the Civil Rights Movement. The book tells the true story of Wright's friend Margaret McHugh. McHugh was a white homemaker from rural Arkansas who left her town, husband, and seven children to join a small band of black activists on a march from West Memphis to Little Rock. In the book, Wright refers to her friend simply as V. And C.D. Wright recently talked with Eleanor Boudreau from our content partner WKNO in Memphis.
She was the only white person to join the march. She was arrested, and her car was burned up in front of the police station, and hoses were turned on the jail room from the outside by citizens, irate citizens. And when she came out of jail, during the time she was in jail, when she came out, her husband denounced her on the radio and announced that he was divorcing her. He had seven children.
So she was ostracized, though, from her entire community.
Oh, very, right.
So how did you meet V?
I met her through a student friend of mine who grew up next door to her. She remains the most remarkable woman I ever met.
And I'd like now for you to read a description of V.
She was guilty of no fear, no envy, no meanness. I remember her in livid color, her with radiant, cool eyes, hallucinating Arkansas and Blake-like tragedy, the best mind of a generation, in an era, a place that thought nothing of a woman, even a white woman, and of a black woman thought even less than. Of course, the radiant, cool eyes is a famous line from Allen Ginsberg's How.
Your book has been described as a collage of voices and fugue-like with contrapuntal patterns worthy of Bach. So there are people and things that come up again and again. And just to give everybody, you know, a couple examples, there's Martin Luther King Jr., Sonny Liston, Elvis Presley, Dear Abby, snakes, lilies, you know, the prices of food.
I knew I wanted to write about my friend V. I didn't know that it would end up very much needing the context of the place in which she lived. I think of it as a kind of patterning. Every time things come up repeatedly, they are reinforced with another layer of significance.
You report in order to write a book like this, right? You make phone calls, you do interviews and research.
I do. They're very informal. I interview people in person and by phone. There is, of course, always more than one version of truth. You're just trying to see things as clearly as you can.
I'd like you to read a scene in your book now that takes place in the Civil Rights Museum.
Right, that was very curious. Looking through the plexiglass that separates us from the carefully unkempt furnishings at the Lorraine, cigarette butts in the ashtray and the dinner plate shared with Abernathy, the stuck clock of history. An anachronistic-looking child stands next to me with ringlets like Shirley Temple. "Is this where they killed Elvis?" she asked her mother. "Wrong king, child. Wrong freaking king."
Did that really happen?
Yes.
C.D. Wright, thank you so much.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
C.D. Wright's latest book, One with Others, was a finalist for the National Book Award. She talked with Eleanor Boudreau from our content partner WKNO in Memphis. And for more information about Ozarks, including story previews and photos, log on to facebook.com/ozarksatlarge.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And with us inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Mark Landon Smith from Arts Live.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me back.
Of course.
Busy summer?
Busy, busy, busy summer at ALT. very busy. We are doing a bunch of summer camps this summer for grades 5 to 7, 8 to 11, and 12 to 18. And we've already had our camps for June. We've got a bunch coming up in July and August. We're covering theater production, theater makeup, musical theater dance, stage combat, comedy improv. So there's a lot of opportunity for a lot of people to be involved.
Is it possible for someone to take more than one camp?
Absolutely. In fact, we just enrolled a young actor yesterday who's taking three camps. So, and they're scheduled to where they don't overlap. So you can take one camp in the morning, then there's a break for lunch, and then you can take another camp in the afternoon.
Who's helping teach these?
We have Jules Taylor and Christy Hall. Chris Pruitt is doing our stage combat. Erica Wilhite's going to be doing some camps for us. So we've got an excellent group of teaching artists, as always.
And the summer camps go through July and into August.
And into August, yes. And you can go to artslifetheater.com, and there is a schedule there and also a downloadable registration form. We still have room on some of our camps. Some of our camps are completely full, but all that information is on our website, so you can see what's still available.
Don't you have an award show every year?
We do. We have the Arts Live Theater Awards coming up July 23rd. The Arts Live Theater Awards is our own answer to the Tonys and the Oscars, where we recognize performances on stage and contributions backstage throughout the last season. So this last year, we've had seven shows. So we have approximately 15 categories that the people are voting on. And people who vote are people who've been in the shows and people who have seen the shows. And everyone is a nominee. And then we have the official nominees. Whoever gets the five most votes becomes the official nominees. And then the person who will receive the award will be announced that night at the York Ballroom. It's going to be a lot of fun. Starts at 7 o'clock. Tickets are available at artslifetheater.com. They're $15. You can purchase them online or at the door or by calling our office. And includes food and fun. And you two are going to be guest presenters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
Yes, very much so.
So it's a great, great evening just to recognize what our young actors have done throughout the year.
Okay, so camps. The Alties, is that what you call them?
The Arts Life Theater Awards, yes, the Alties.
The Alties. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there are also shows coming up?
We do have shows coming up. But before we have our first show of the season, we have auditions for Bright Blue Mailbox Suicide Note at the end of the month. And it is a drama. And it goes up in September. And then we have coming up for our Shakespeare in the Park, which will actually open our season, Hamlet, Zombie Killer of Denmark. And that opens July 28th through the 30th. It's free. You can just come and see the show. We're going to be at the Fayetteville Public Library Terrace on July 28th, Wilson Park Castle July 29th, and Gully Park Gazebo July 30th. Show starts at 7 p.m., and it is free. The show's about an hour long, so you can come out, see some theater al fresco.
When I read Hamlet in high school, I don't recall zombies. So is this a Mark Landon Smith adaptation?
It sounds like something I would do, doesn't it?
Kind of, yes.
Yes, yes. But it is not. I found this script online through Theatre Folk, which is a United Kingdom or a British publishing company. Uh-huh. So they've taken the traditional story of Hamlet and kind of flipped it, right. Obviously. So instead of ghosts, we have zombies.
Okay.
So it's keeping a lot of the original language of Shakespeare. Uh-huh. It's just setting it a little bit differently.
Is the soliloquy still in there?
A part of the soliloquy is still in there. Yes, yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So it's a really good way to introduce young actors and audiences to Shakespeare without it being too
serious?
Shakespearean. You know what I mean?
Trivial fact. I believe Olivier wanted to do this for the movie that he won the Oscar for.
He wanted to do Hamlet, Zombie Killer.
I think
Denmark.
That's maybe not. Maybe not.
I think you're right, actually.
It seems like this is sort of right. A trend right now. I've seen some books at the bookstore, some Jane Austen novels mm-hmm. or something that had zombies.
Zombies are hugely popular right now. Right. You know, last season we did Night of the Living Dead, which is about zombies.
Right.
So Zombie Prom is super popular right now. So it's a thing to do. All the kids are doing it.
So they're moving from vampires and werewolves into zombies?
Yeah. We're still sort of in the same genre.
Right.
But yeah, it's moving around a little bit. Apparently.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, the
yeah.
Fiddler on the Roof production you're going to do, that's like.
That is straightforward. There are no zombies in Fiddler on
no
the Roof.
Zombies.
Okay.
But yeah, we are doing Fiddler on the Roof, and that opens August 4th through 7th. So it opens a week after Hamlet opens. We're going to be at the York Ballroom. It is the traditional version of Fiddler on the Roof. It is a junior version, which means it's shortened a little bit. So it runs about an hour long, but it has all of your favorite songs in there. Jason Sewell is directing it.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Diana Blaylock is a choreographer. and Missy Gibson is our music director. So we got a great team of people working with us, and that is going to be August 4th through 7th at the York Ballroom on Dixon Street.
And then the fall is fast approaching.
Then the fall is fast approaching, yes. We'll have our fall classes beginning in September, and we hope everyone's going to come in and sign up for those. They will book up pretty quickly. We're now working on the schedule, so we look forward to getting that published.
So if anyone wants to know about summer camps, about the Arts Live Theater Awards, about auditioning, about Hamlet and the Zombies, about Fiddler on the Roof, or anything else related,
you go to artslivetheater.com. All the information's there. You can call us at 479-521-4932.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large. Last week, Arkansas Secretary of State Mark Martin released a series of draft majority House legislative district maps, 16 black majority and one Hispanic majority district, that one located in northwest Arkansas. And this week, he's proposed increasing the number of black minority state Senate districts to 5. Martin, a Republican, is one of 3 members of the State Board of Apportionment responsible for redrawing 100 House districts and 35 Senate districts based on population shifts in the 2010 census. He's joined by Arkansas Governor Mike Beebe and Attorney General Dustin McDaniel, both Democrats, on that board. Mark Myers, Community Outreach Director for the Secretary of State's office, describes the Hispanic Majority District map, the first of its kind in Arkansas, as narrow.
The map that we, the Secretary of State's office, drew runs from eastern Springdale up along, close to the Highway 71 and up into eastern Rogers. But it runs real narrow near the railroad tracks north of Springdale.
Also, the Secretary of State had to confirm if it is legally bound to configure a Hispanic majority district in northwest Arkansas. That answer was delivered this morning.
It doesn't look like the Hispanic district in northwest Arkansas will make the cut based on some legal justifications that had legal tests that had to be met. And those include compactness, as described in the district. It's really not that compact, and it's too narrow without people in portions of it. So the legal determination was that it probably did not make the legal standard to justify drawing the district as it was the only way we could draw it and be a majority-minority district.
Final proposed maps will be released today for public comment at the website ArkansasRedistricting.org.
Officials with the State Department of Corrections say crowding in the state's prison is easing. Spokeswoman Shay Wilson says the overall population of the prison system is currently 15,514. That's down 725 inmates over the past 6 months. And the number of state inmates backed up in county jails is at its lowest level in years.
That number today is 915. In January, that number was 1,662. So, yeah, there's some change there as well.
State officials say the lower numbers of inmates are a result of the State Parole Board implementing provisions of a new state law a bit early. The board has begun early processing for state inmates in county jails and other prisoners serving sentences of 2 years or less.
It's Tuesday, July 19th, 2011. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grada.
With us is Becca Bacon-Martin. She is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
So I think we should go do something tonight.
Yes, please.
How about Seven Dust?
Excellent. Band, Kyle.
Ah, thank you.
Band. Metal. Metal, Kyle. They've been performing for more than 15 years. They had songs like Denial and more recently Unraveling from their new album, Cold Day Memory. And they will be joined by Adelita's Way tonight at 8 o'clock at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. This is a pretty big name band.
George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville, the first phrase I've really understood today. But that sounds
How about
sounds
tickets
like
are $21?
That sounds good. That sounds
okay.
Like a deal.
Or completely different kind of music. Tonight's The Battle on the Border.
Uh-huh.
At 7:30 at Blakemore Field in Van Buren.
Oh, okay.
It's the band competition.
Oh, those poor people. They've been practicing in this heat.
Yes.
And they just don't practice. I mean, they're athletes.
Yes.
Wait,
oh,
what
boy.
Now? Wait, what do you mean?
It's a marching band competition.
Oh, okay.
Drum
like
corps.
The movies.
Oh.
Yeah.
So hot.
Yeah. 7:30 tonight when it'll still be hot at Blakemore Field in Van Buren. Tickets are $17 to $25. I have not been to one of those, but I had friends who went in the last couple of years and said it was the most amazing thing they'd ever seen.
It's quite impressive. It's not, you know, I was the same. I thought it wasn't my kind of thing, but it is quite impressive. and it's quite energetic, and a lot of people have a lot of fun. It's something I think everyone should see once.
And I'm sure it'll be toasty warm for this, too. But Opera in the Ozarks is wrapping up its season, and tonight is Famous Opera Scenes at 7:30 at the Inspiration Point Fine Arts Colony. Tickets are $20 to $25. And that should be enough fun for a Tuesday.
All right.
Thanks, Becca. Becca Fagan-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. Last August, the first ever Fayetteville Roots Festival was a one-day musical event featuring singers, songwriters, and musicians from around the country. It took place in Fayetteville. The 2011 incarnation still takes place in Fayetteville, but it expands on the original idea. The performances by folk, Americana, bluegrass, blues, and other root style of music will stretch over an entire weekend in August at six different locations in Fayetteville and feature scores of bands from here and elsewhere. The Roots Festival will begin with a reception and performance by the band Chatham County Line. That Friday night event will also include, like every other event at the Fayetteville Roots Festival the last weekend of August, food provided by local farms and restaurants. Jeremy Gothrop from Greenhouse Grill in Fayetteville is one of the co-producers of the festival, and he says all the food included in the festival will be in lockstep with the Roots Festival ideal.
Root being the core word there. The Friday night event, the food will be donated by local farmers, local ranches, local bread producers, local distributors in all ways, shapes, and forms. Brickhouse Kitchen and the Greenhouse Grill will be preparing this food and giving it to the festival goers and friends of the festival, sponsors, artists, bands, press. And throughout the weekend, we've called this the farmers of the festival. And these packages are similar to sponsorship packages where the farmer makes a donation at a certain amount and they receive, you know, entrance to the festival and lots of exposure with all of our media sponsors. And in turn, all of our restaurants that are participating at the main event, the Walton Arts Center, have to purchase their food from these farmers of the festival. So it's a win-win for the farmer. It's a win-win for the community because they get to sample and see all kinds of local foods from all kinds of different farmers. And it's super fun for the chefs because they're challenged with using what we have available at the end of August.
Saturday morning, that would be August 28th, free music will be available on the city square during the farmers market. Brian Embry from the band Three Penny Acre is another co-producer of the Fayetteville Roots Festival.
And the idea behind it is, we want there to be access to what we're doing at some level, and that's the perfect place. You know, that's the epicenter of our community on a Saturday morning. We know that there are people that go to the farmers market that may not come to our festival, but then all of a sudden, by de facto, they've come to the festival. They've been a part of it, and they start to hear a little bit about it. They hear the music, they're enticed, and all of a sudden, they realize that this is a part of the community, just like the farmers market.
And it's that Saturday free concert is geared for the whole family. I mean, almost all of these events are whole family.
Yeah, it's a family-friendly event, start to finish.
But this is specifically music that is sometimes written and performed with younger
kids
people in mind.
Yeah.
Shannon Wurst.
Shannon Wurst is going to be on the bill. She just released a great album of kids' songs, Growing Green. One of our headliners, Sarah Lee Guthrie and Johnny Erian, they actually are experts at traveling with kids. They have two kids, and they travel with their kids, and they're going to do a set. And we have some other artists that are still unfolding for that stage. But the idea behind it is it's going to have the feel of the rest of the Roots Festival, but it's going to be open and accessible to all ages, and you wouldn't be afraid to take your kids and sit there and enjoy the music.
The free music on Saturday will lead to the main event for that day, a multi-stage, multi-artist, multi-hour indoor-outdoor music festival at Walton Arts Center.
We are going to have four stages running, and five if you add the main hall, which the headliners will play it towards the end of the evening. Four stages running, concurrent bands. So you'll look at a schedule and you'll decide who you want to go see. And so that's something that Jeremy and I both agreed we love about going to a festival. You know, we've been to a lot of festivals between the two of us. And I love that idea of having selection, having option. And you're like, wow, there's so many bands to see. And so that's going to be happening at the Walton Arts Center from 2 to 6, 2 to 6:30, somewhere in that range. And then the main event, it's not just one headliner. There will be three headliners, Sarah Lee Guthrie and Johnny Erian, Chatham County Line and Guy Clark.
Black Diamond Strains is Black Diamond Strains. Drinking one W Harper, playing Black Diamond Strains. Black Diamond Strings are like white flour and grits. You play Black Diamond Strings, cause it's all you can get. Black Diamond Strings on a catalog guitar. That's pretty high cotton, whoever you are. Break one, you change one, that's as good as it gets. You can play all year long.
So it'll still have that festival vibe where it's not just we're here to see one person. You're going to get a good taste of a lot of different artists. And I think people will leave and the idea of festival will be firmly implanted in their mind. They'll say, wow, that was something different. This was a unique experience.
You're going to have the stage in the Rose Garden, right?
Rose Garden, the Tyson Plaza, which will be a solar stage, the Star Theater, mm-hmm. and scattered musicians through the lobby and in the galleries. And as well as the Balm Walker, which will get down at 6:30.
These Saturday evening sessions will include more than 30 bands and singers from across the country, and many from around here, too. Again, Brian Embry, a producer of the event.
Got a lot of local favorites, Tiffany Christopher, Carter Sampson, Shannon Wurst, you know, Three Penny Acres, Still on the Hill. You know, a lot of local bands that when you think about roots music, you think about these bands. But then we've also got people coming from out of town that you may not have heard about before. Some returners from last year's festival, like Anthony DaCosta, Rainy Rose, and John Elliott. They made a big splash last year. They were the unknowns, and then people left the festival feeling, or the feedback I got was, have that band back. So we're having some returners, and then some newcomers, you know, some Oklahoma artist. Casey Clifford is an artist from Oklahoma that's coming over. Mark Ballou from Missouri.
My friend, it's good to see you. Tell me, how long has it been? Well, the family is all waiting. Now we've invited all your and there's something I should tell you that I simply can't ignore. You're home in the country, ain't in the country no more.
We've got a really nice selection. I think there's going to be something for everyone. One of the solo artists, Rebecca Lobey, is a good friend of ours, and we talked to her 6-7 months ago and said, hey, why don't you come down? She said, I'd love to, and she just spent the spring on The Voice, this TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Competing
on NBC.
On NBC, yeah. Exactly. And so now all of a sudden I'm getting emails from people saying, we're coming for Rebecca Lobey, you know, and I'm thrilled by that. I mean, we had no idea that was going to happen.
When I leave the sun hanging straight up in the sky. Leave the apples in their baskets, let them rot and turn white. Cold averted glances, the fear in my bones. When I leave the long arm and the trips behind the shed. The bundles in my mattress, the shaking of their heads. I'll fare thee well.
After Guy Clark finishes the portion of the festival at Walton Arts Center, there will be more music Saturday night. Ticket holders can cross School Avenue and go to an after party at the Kingfish Bar featuring music from Charlie Horse.
And then all of a sudden we started music at 9 a.m. on Saturday, and it ran all the way to 1 a.m. on Sunday morning. So anyone that argues that, you know, this is not an urban festival, I invite them to come from 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. and enjoy. I think they'll have that.
How are your feet feeling?
So you're going to go from the square that begins at 9, then 2 to 6:30, the festival. Shortly after that, then Inside Balm are the three main acts. You go across the street to Kingfish. You've got the after party.
That's right.
Then Sunday.
Then Sunday, yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Where it all began, at the Greenhouse. Last year we set up in our small stage, and during brunch service, which was very busy, we had the artists in the round, which we call it Brunch in the Round. And
that's nonstop music.
Yes. It is pretty much nonstop between songs, some tuning. And, a handful of singers, songwriters, soloists, duos, just moving in and out of the small stage during brunch service, which is free and open to the public. You have to eat, though. And that will extend hours that day and start a little earlier and go a little later to be announced when that is, just to, like, give everybody an opportunity to come in. And then at the library,
Oh, that's right. Yeah, at the Fayetteville Public Library.
We're working on it. You know, we're still in development, but they have a really cool project called the Fayetteville Sound that they're working on. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have some free music and a kickoff of their Fayetteville Sound project. And this is essentially trying to collect and document the local music of Fayetteville. Not just local music now, but local music from the 90s and the 80s and the 70s, and I love that idea.
So if you listen to Mutant Fish or The Distractions or any number of bands.
Oh, I mean, I'm digging out my old Grandpa's Good Time Fandango CDs, and I'm donating them to the library, you know. So I love that concept, and it just so happens they're going to do that kickoff from 2 to 4 on Sunday, the 28th. So you're going to, you know, we're kind of partnering with them, and that's going to be a part of the festival. And so we've got that morning brunch at the Greenhouse. We've got the Fayetteville Sound at the library from 2 to 4.
And then after that.
And then back to the Greenhouse. Yeah. For sure. Believe that'll start around 6.
Yep. Yep.
And it'll be 3X on the large stage in the Greenhouse. We'll have cleared the place out and got it ready for, you know, the closing party, which is going to be Three Penny Acre and Friends.
You know, we're going to play a set and... You know, with so many friends in town, it's hard not to do some collaboration. So they're going to join us. Cletus got shot. Mm-hmm. Great friends of ours and, you know, great representatives of the Fayetteville Sound, so to speak. And then the trio that I mentioned, Anthony DaCosta, Raina Rose, and John Elliott, who are a very lively folk trio and really lit it up last year. They're going to join us as well. So I think it'll have that kind of finale feel.
Brian Embry from the band Three Penny Acre and Jeremy Gothrop from Greenhouse Grill are two of the people putting together the Fayetteville Roots Festival that takes place the weekend of August 27th through the 29th. Tickets for the events are now on sale in both packages and tickets for single events. For more information about ticketing and artists, you can go to FayettevilleRoots.com. And money raised at the silent auction Saturday will help benefit the organization FeedFayetteville.org, which has been formed to increase awareness, understanding, and informed action to alleviate hunger at the community level. You can hear more about that and other parts of the festival in an extended edition of the conversation I had with Brian and Jeremy. That can be found at our website, OzarksAtLarge.com. That's music from another of the bands scheduled to perform at the Fayetteville Roots Festival in August. They are the Honey Dewdrops. They were at last year's Fayetteville Roots Festival as well. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
My name is Antoinette Grajeda.
And Antoinette, I have a question for you.
Okay.
When you think of summer and you think of food,
yes,
what comes to mind?
I think of hot dogs and lemonade.
Sure. Fair enough. Picnics, baseball games.
Yes.
What about watermelon?
Yeah, that too.
Okay. What about tomatoes? To me, that's a quintessential summer fruit.
Really?
Yes.
No, I guess I don't think of that.
Are you a big fan of tomatoes?
I like them if they're chopped up for my salsa or in my tacos.
I see. But not, you wouldn't just take one and eat it off the vine.
No.
Well, there is an event this weekend, the Tomato Fest, when you'll get the tomatoes we're used to seeing in supermarkets and the Arkansas Travelers, which are the most those red ones. But there are also green ones, red ones, ones that have bumps, heirloom tomatoes. Mm-hmm. It's part of Tomato Fest.
Ah, good name.
Yes. And for one price, you get in and you can eat as many different types of tomatoes as you want.
Okay.
And late last week, Marcy Benham and Teresa Maurer, both with Ozark Slow Food, Marcy is kind of heading up the Tomato Fest for the third consecutive year, came to the studio and they talked about the Tomato Fest.
We usually try to have anywhere from 38 to 40 varieties that we we never know exactly which varieties we're going to have until the last, so we do our shopping the day before
morning,
the event.
Yeah. Or yeah. the day before in this case, yeah.
Yeah, and because it just depends on who's got what available that day and how much. So we might be able to get only 1 pound of like little champagne tomatoes from David Baum, or we might be able to get 10 pounds of Celebrity. From another grower. So we just buy what we, and we do buy our tomatoes from the farmers. We don't allow them to donate because we want to contribute to their mm-hmm. well-being as well. But at any rate, we try and buy as many different varieties as we can get our paws on. So our presentation is nice too because you get to see a whole version of the tomato that you're actually tasting. So, and we have a little flyer that we hand out at the door when you come in that has the varieties listed. And as you go through the tasting, you can pause and write comments about the variety that you're tasting. We have identification cards with the tomatoes that show which variety you're tasting. And so you can keep a record of which ones you liked, which ones you didn't. We do try and feature a lot of heirlooms.
Teresa, I think we talked about this once before. Almost everybody knows that there are dozens of apples, hundreds of varieties of apples. Not a lot of people realize sometimes how many varieties of tomatoes there are.
Oh, yeah. And actually, since I'm not a technical horticulturist, I don't know the number of different varieties. But I know that in the past years when we've had this and you walk in the room, it's a rainbow. I mean, all different colors, sizes, shapes, and flavors. And we're really looking for flavor experience here so that you can, you know, you have your experience with the familiar big red tomatoes. Well, we want you to try maybe a peach-colored fuzzy tomato and see what that's like on your taste buds. One thing that may happen this year, too, as part of our education is, I mean, this has been an incredible double whammy in terms of weather. And we want our folks that support local food to also understand how that affects the farmers and availability. So we're looking for that variety. If we don't quite make our mark, we're still going to have plenty of diversity, but we'll also use it as a chance to say, hey, what was it doing in April? It was flooding. What was it doing in June? It was drought. And that affected what was going on with the plants and affected what you get to see at the market.
Is this set up like a wine tasting where, you know, how you have the bottle of wine and you can sip and taste? Same here?
Yeah, we actually have the cut-up pieces of tomatoes, so you'll be able to sample those, and we'll have something that you can eat in between because your taste buds will kind of, you know, want to go, ah, if you don't give them a little bit of a break. But Marcy's actually got a team of tomato cutters lined up. This event is probably going to take between 20 and 25 people, volunteers, to make it happen.
We'll have live music there, mm-hmm. and it's a really pleasant environment. And we'll have people from the Master Gardeners program who are going to be available to ask questions about growing tomatoes yourself. Or so it's a fun event.
Fruit or vegetable?
Fruit.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. you passed the test. You mentioned earlier there is a variety that's fuzzy and peach colored. Yeah, give me some of the names here.
Really colorful names.
They do. I mean, everything from the Arkansas Traveler, which a mm-hmm. lot of people know, and is actually the only tomato I've ever tasted that I like. I'll admit that on the air. I do not like raw tomatoes. I like them cooked, but I don't like them raw.
Well, I love them raw, so we're a perfect team because Marcy is such a super organizer of this event, and I like them raw, cooked, grilled. I've grilled them. I've mm-hmm. roasted them.
Yeah, we had cream sausage last year.
That's a variety?
It is. Ciudad Victoria Mortgage Lifter was actually
one of the favorite names from last year. Yeah.
And actually one of the favorite flavored tomatoes that we had last year in the straw poll we took on the attendees. Japanese Black Trifle, Jet Star, Hartman's Yellow Gooseberry.
Even the Green Zebra, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a green zebra.
Which is, when it's ready to eat, it actually is green. Hmm. Actually, I like that one. I like the flavor of that one. I took quite a few of those home and enjoyed those.
Yeah, there's purple calabash and persimmon, taxi, pineapple. Of course, then there's the usuals like Sun Gold and Romez. Right. The names are almost as interesting as the different flavors. So, you know, it's all about appreciating all the varieties of tomatoes and being experimental, being brave in the farmer's market and saying, well, that's a black tomato with green stripes. I've never seen anything like that before, but I'm going to be brave and try it.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
So you can taste the tomatoes from 11 until 1 on the 24th, Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, and the garden itself stays open another hour till 2.
The market stays open till 2. I believe the garden's open till 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. All right. And if people want to know more about Slow Food?
Yes, they can go to our website, ozarkslowfood.org, or in the case of the Tomato Fest, we actually have a special email. I'm going to let Marcy read the email for that.
Well, it's marcy608-tomatoes, with an E, at yahoo.com.
All right. Thank you. Thank you both very much.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
Marcy Benham and Teresa Maurer are with Ozark Slow Food and talk to me about the annual Tomato Fest. The event is Sunday from 11 till 1 at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks. And all tomato-related activities, and this is important considering the weather we've had lately, all of them are inside.
Yes, you like potato, and I like potato. You like tomato, I like tomato. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part. And oh, if we ever part, then that might break my heart. So if you like pajamas, I like pajamas.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums.
And time for a trivia question.
Fantastic. We've got a full weekend of activities for you. You could do that any time of the week, but it sounds better when I say, because we're going to give away 4 movie passes to Malco Movie Theater, any Malco Movie Theater in the area, and 4 tickets to a home Northwest Arkansas Naturals game.
Super.
And they come back for a 7-game homestand beginning Friday.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we were talking about Tomato Fest.
Yes, we were, just a few moments ago.
So I thought we should have a tomato-related question.
Fantastic.
When you told me about this thing the other day, I was thinking of La Tomatina in Buñol, Spain.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically a giant food fight with tomatoes.
Right.
Legend has it started in, 1945. It's a little sketchy, but there was a parade in town, I think, for the patron saint of the town. And some kids kind of knocked over one of the story goes that the kids knocked over one of the guys in the parade who had one of those big heads on them. And he was upset and got up and started swinging at people. And so the kids grabbed the tomatoes and started throwing them. So great fun.
Great story.
Right. So whether it's true or not, who knows? But so every year now, people 20,000 people show up and they throw tomatoes for about an hour. So my question is, it's the last Wednesday in which month? Is it August, September, or October?
Okay. When is it okay to throw tomatoes at 19,999 other people?
Yes. In Buñol, Spain.
In Buñol, Spain. And the choices again.
Is it the last Wednesday in August, September, or October?
800-522-5823. That's 800-522-5823. You can remember that because it's 800-522-KUAF. One winner will be picked out of the ceramic cow from the correct answers. Time for the answer. And why Wednesday?
Because that's when apparently the parade was.
Oh, okay.
Was a Wednesday in 1945.
Okay. So it's the last Wednesday of which month?
Yes. Our question for those of you tuning in was, when is La Tomatina in Buñol, Spain? It's the last Wednesday in which month? Is it August, September, or October?
And the answer, I'm going to guess October.
No, it's in August.
Does that mean in just a couple of months you're going to come armed on a Wednesday with
It's entirely possible.
Okay. All correct answers win in the ceramic cow. We'll pull a winner in a minute and then give you a call.
A service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Barcelona.
And where is Barcelona?
Just north of Uniontown.
Okay, very good. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.